and I saw magnificent Chloris, the one whom Neleus wooed and won with a hoard of splendid gifts, so dazzled by her beauty years ago. The youngest daughter of Iasus' son, Amphion, the great Minyan king who ruled Oconomus once. She was his queen in Pylos. She bore him shining sons, Nestor and Chromius. Periclymenus, too, good prince. And after her sons, she bore a daughter, majestic Pyrrho, the marvel of her time, courted by all the young lords round about. But Neleus would not give her to any suitor, none but the man who might drive home the herds that powerful Iphiclus had stolen. Lurching, broad in the brow, those long-horned beasts, and no small task to round them up from Phylace. Only the valiant seer Melampus volunteered, he would drive them home. But a god's iron sentence bound him fast. Barbarous herdsmen dragged him off in chains. Yet when the months and days had run their course, and the year wheeled round, and the seasons came again, then mighty Iphiclus loosed the prophet's shackles, once he had told them all the god's decrees. And so the will of Zeus was done at last. And I saw Leda next, Tyndareus's wife, who'd borne the king two sons, intrepid twins, Castor, breaker of horses, and the hardy boxer Polydeuces, both buried now in the life-giving earth, though still alive. Even under the earth Zeus grants them that distinction, one day alive, the next day dead, each twin by turns, they both hold honours equal to the gods. And I saw Iphimedia next, Aeleus's wife, who claimed she lay in the sea-lord's loving waves and gave the god two sons, but they did not live long, Otus, staunch as a god, and far-famed Ephialtes. They were the tallest men the fertile earth has borne, the handsomest too by far, aside from renowned Orion. 9 yards across they measured, even at 9 years old, 9 fathoms tall they towered. They even threatened the deathless gods. They'd storm Olympus's heights with the pounding rush and grinding shock of battle. They were wild to pile Ossa upon Olympus, then on Ossa Pelion, dense with timber, their toeholds up the heavens. And they'd have won the day if they had reached peak strength, but Apollo, the son of Zeus, whom sleek-haired Leto bore, laid both low before their beards had sprouted, covering cheek and chin with a fresh crop of down. Phaedra and Procris, too, I saw, and lovely Ariadne, daughter of Minos, that harsh king. One day Theseus tried to spirit her off from Crete to Athens' sacred heights, but he got no joy from her. Artemis killed her first on wave-washed Dia's shores, accused by Dionysus. And I saw Clymene, Myrrha, and loathsome Eriphyde, bribed with a golden necklace to lure her lawful husband to his death. But the whole cortege I could never tally, never name. Not all the daughters and wives of great men I saw there. Long before that, the god sent night would ebb away. But the time has come for sleep, either with friends aboard your swift ship or here in your own house. My passage home will rest with the gods and you. Odysseus paused. They all fell silent, hushed, his story holding them spellbound down the shadowed halls, till the white-armed Queen Arete suddenly burst out, "Phaeacians, how does this man impress you now? His looks, his build, the balanced mind inside him. The stranger is my guest, but each of you princes shares the honour here, so let's not be too hasty to send him on his way, and don't scrimp on his gifts. His need is great, great as the riches piled up in your houses, thanks to the gods' good will." Following her, the old revered Echeneus added his support, the eldest lord on the island of Phaeacia. "Friends, the words of our considerate queen, they never miss the mark or fail our expectations. So do as Arete says, though on Alcinous here depend all."